Hello, hello. Happy Father's Day. First of all, I just want to acknowledge that Pastor Rena's not here at the moment, and it's because she's unwell at the moment. So I would like us to be able to just take a moment to pray for her as a church community. Can we do that? So let's just pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good shepherd that you've given to us. I thank you, Lord, that you've raised up Pastor Rena, and that I pray, Lord, that she would be well right now. Even when she's not feeling it, even when her body's a bit down, Lord, Father, that you would pick her up. Let her rest and pick her up, Lord. So, Father, I pray that even when she's not here with us, where I know her heart burdens to be here, it yearns to be with us because she loves us so much, God. I pray, Lord, that you would remind her that you are still with us and that your love will still be with us as well so that she could just rest and recover and we'll see her in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Also, just want to just acknowledge the children who put together all the magnificent gifts that we just received as well. Yep, fathers, I pray that, I hope that you'll take away your gifts and really just take a moment to see this as not just something from your child, but really something from God that he's doing through your children, because you'll be incredibly blessed by it. Today, I've got a sermon up here for you, and it's called Hearts of Fathers, Hearts of Children. Thanks, Dennis. Hearts of Fathers, Hearts of Children. And it comes from a key verse, which we're going to put up there, from Malachi 4:6. And it says this, "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers." Very simple, right? Can you read that out together, right? Because it's just one key verse that we're gonna just, I guess, glean from today. Let's go together. "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their father." That's right. "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." Malachi. It's the very last verse of the Old Testament. It's God's closing word before 400 years of silence. That's the last thing he says. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. What does he choose to say? He chooses not a command about sacrifices, not a warning about politics, not a lecture on religion. He says he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Why? Because the people of God had grown cold. The priests were corrupt. Families fractured. The covenant relationship with God felt neglected. But instead of ending the story with judgment, God ends with hope, a promise of reconciliation. Malachi says that Elijah will come. And we see that fulfilled in John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus. And when Jesus came, he didn't just restore rituals, he restored hearts. He came to bring fathers and children back together. And more than that, to bring us all back to the Father. That's right. So today, we're not just talking about family unity, we're talking about God's heart to renew his covenant with us, to heal what's broken, to reconcile what's divided, and to turn our hearts back to him and to one another. So firstly, there's three things that he wants us to draw on today. And first of all, it's the Father's heart. Thanks, Dan. The Father's heart. Imagine if Ollie and Jonah bought me a Father's Day gift. Imagine them rushing into Bunnings with Mum and they grab the first gardening tool that they see and they hand it over to me. Most dads would love that, right? Something from Bunnings. There's just one problem. We don't have a garden. So I don't actually know what I would do with a gardening tool. Yet they would give it to me and they would say, well, we got you something. Now, contrast that with another child, perhaps one of yours, who spends time listening to his dad, noticing that he always hums a particular worship song in the mornings, and that child starts practicing how to play that song on a musical instrument. When the father hears that song coming from his child, tears just come down from his eyes. Not because of the tune or how it's played, but because this child of his knew that that song meant something more to his father. The child knew his father's heart. Hands up, who's got a child like that? Yeah, that's right. Like the rest of us, I'm not putting up my hand. I just want weed killer. I don't want gardening tools. I want weed killer, you know. And all I got today was I got a shaver for Father's Day. So I actually think the kids are trying to send me a message. And perhaps maybe some of you guys have been talking to my kids of late. I don't know. But here's the difference. Going through the motions versus knowing the Father's heart. Church, are we going through the motions or are we catching on to the Father's heart? The truth is our Heavenly Father, He's not interested in empty gestures. He wants our hearts. And His heart is clear. Reconciliation, unity, and love. Reconciliation, unity, and love. That's what Malachi is revealing. God's concern is not just rituals, but a relationship being restored. Reconciliation, unity, love. We are children of faith. We're sharing one Heavenly Father, our God, all made possible through Jesus. Now, since Adam, humanity has been stuck in the same cycle. We have good times, then there's selfishness, then there's ruin, then there's brokenness, then there's years of rebuilding, and it repeats all over again. But God knows better than any expert. God knows better than any expert about what causes separation and brokenness, about fracturing between fathers and children and families. He knows the only way to break that destructive cycle is that it's not about more human effort, but a new heart. And He knows this, and so He's going to give it to us. The truth is, that's why Jesus came. And we see that on the cross. He broke the curse of sin and death. He absorbed all the judgment we deserved so that we could be reconciled to God again with our Father. And it's through Jesus that we're not just patched up, we're brought into unity with God. We're brought into unity with God. We're brought into His love, the love that is prosperous with Jesus. And it's the heart of the Father revealed. And when we talk about fathers today, it's not only about biological dads. And some of you didn't grow up with a father, or maybe your father wasn't present. Some of us are single. Some of us have longed to be a parent, but it hasn't happened. Some of us were raised by faithful mothers who carried both roles of a mother and a father. Whew. Church, God Himself is your Father. His heart is for you. His Son, Jesus, reconciled you to Him for the rest of eternity. You are not excluded from His love. Yeah? So if our Father's heart is reconciliation, unity, and love, how does He work that out in the real world? How does He do that? Well, thanks, Dan. He does it through families, passing faith from one generation to the next. God works through families. 400 years after Malachi promised this, God introduces Zechariah and Elizabeth, an elderly, childless couple. They learnt about the child that they would have to raise through an angel telling them that their son will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. This is from Luke. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Their child, John the Baptist, their child becomes John the Baptist who prepares the people for Jesus' arrival, for the start of his ministry, to prepare us for Jesus to do something else. Malachi's prophecy was happening when Zechariah and Elizabeth were hearing about this happening. God was working through them, and God was working through John the Baptist. God works through families. From the beginning, God designed faith to be generational. Parents passing it on to children. Spiritual fathers and mothers discipling sons and daughters in the faith. That's why Malachi ends with fathers and children. Because God's covenant is never meant to stop with one generation. It's meant to multiply for generations to come. Fathers, mothers, don't just look at our generation, how we grew up and what we're doing right now. Look beyond that. You can see this in the Seek and the TBC kids who've just left. There is a generation that God is calling so that they know who He is, so that they know how to walk in this world, so that they can do all of these things after we leave. Think about Abraham. God promised His blessing. God promised to bless all nations through Abraham. But Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. How could the promise continue? Abraham doubted, he worried, he questioned. And yet God showed him the stars and said, "So your offspring shall be." The covenant was not just about biological children, but about a spiritual legacy. It's the spirit and power of Elijah running through, a family of faith that would keep the ways of the Lord. So Jesus Himself entered into our world through a family. Joseph wasn't His biological father, but He chose to stay. He chose to protect. He chose to raise Him. And Mary stayed faithful to the very end, even at the cross, watching her son die. God worked His salvation plan through His family, a family of faith. And through Jesus, every believer is adopted into the family of God. Hallelujah. That means whether or not you have biological children or not, you have spiritual children to invest in. Spiritual children who share the same blood of Christ as you and me. So we are all part of this. Whether we're childbearing or not, we are all part of this. God works through families. Jesus was raised with faithful parents. God's been using parents and families to pass on the word from generation to generation. God has always intended to save not just one generation, but many. Think of them as the Jesus generations. When we look at the TBC kids, when we look at the Seek kids, when we look at their kids that are going to school, when we look at those kids who are not knowing Jesus, but we see them and we say, yes, they're the Jesus generation, because one day they will see him. They will see him and they will know him as you and me have seen him and known him and been taught about him. They are part of his generations to come. The heart of the Father is to break this pattern of broken families. He desires reconciliation, unity, and love. But families don't always look the same. Some of us were raised by single mums. Some of us have spiritual mothers or fathers who disciplined us, who discipled us. Some of us are spiritual parents ourselves, mentoring the next generation. Or perhaps some of you are actually being called to mentor the next generation, but haven't yet stepped into it. Some of us may not have children of our own, but God has placed people in our lives to love, to encourage, and disciple. This promise is for all of us. His covenant of faith is meant to be passed on. It's God's own spiritual legacy. So fathers, as I was preparing for the message for today, God was really pressing on me to share with you guys that if you are a father today, your intentional presence, your spiritual leadership in your family matters. To our mothers, your faithfulness is a powerful testimony of God's nurturing and strength. For people who aren't having kids, or not yet, perhaps you're single, perhaps you're a couple, you are part of this story too. You carry influence and legacy in the lives of those you disciple, you mentor, or you serve. And for all the families, all of us in this family of God, God wants us. God wants us, and he wants our tables, he wants our homes, he wants our relationships. He wants all of that to be places where his faith shines. He wants to live on in your households. He wants to live on with your neighbors' households. He wants us to be part of that great story. Our children and our neighbors' children and our friends' children, they are fertile soil for us to sow into them. They are fertile for us to lead them to discovering God and to how to walk this world as followers of Jesus. He wants an intentional relationship with the children, because that's how he's going to keep families together. That's how he's going to keep his unity going. When children have the love of Jesus, they will grow into men and women and become spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, disciple makers, mentors to their next generation. But we also know that families aren't always whole. There's brokenness, absence, betrayal, and pain. And that's why Malachi's prophecy matters so much, because only God can turn broken hearts back to one another. It's the last slide here. God recognizes brokenness, and he's turning hearts. Many of us know that the reality of broken families comes from things like absent fathers, fractured relationships, children who've walked away. Some of you carry those wounds, even right now. But the good news is, it's this, that God wants to break that pattern. He wants to break the pattern that keeps families broken. The cross proves it. Jesus bore all of our brokenness on the cross so that we could be reconciled to God, and through him, reconciliation is possible, even in the most fractured relationships. On the cross, Jesus achieved forgiveness between God and us. Without his forgiveness, we would never know God's love. We would never know the power to truly love others. Our relationships would remain fractured and could never be made whole. But the Spirit of God is still at work. Even today, he is turning hearts. And maybe for you, there's wounds that aren't from a father. Maybe it's from a mother or a spouse or a child or a brother or a sister or an extended family member or a stranger or even a close friend. God's promise is wide. He is turning hearts. His reconciliation is not limited to fathers and children. It reaches into every kind of broken relationship. We have to keep trusting that God knows what he is doing. I don't know if you guys remember, but a while ago I shared about the Abdullah family. There's two parents, Danny and Layla Abdullah. They lost three children one day, all on a weekend. Anthony, Angelina, and Sienna. 13, 12, and 8 years old. And they lost one of their cousins, Veronica, 11, due to a driver speeding while drunk and drugged. Imagine being at home, having a family event, and your children just go walk about down to around the neighborhood, and imagine that you'd have to run to them because there'd been an accident. That's what Danny had to do. I shared last time about the mother, Layla, who's actually outspoken because people interviewed her and they asked her, how are you dealing with this? What do you want to do against the driver? How do you cope with this? And all she's been able to talk about is forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. She is a believer in Jesus, both she and Danny. But today I want to mention that there's a second part of this story. It's not just about the mum. I heard in the last couple of weeks something about the dad, Danny. So in New South Wales, the driver has been imprisoned for about 28 years. He is the driver who killed their children. There was a news report that told of a rare restoration program that was successfully granted. It's a program that runs in New South Wales prisons. It's very rarely used and very rarely works. Both sides have to apply to have it done. It's not about revenge or anger. It's about each of them talking to each other. So what Danny did was he applied for this program. And it was approved. Danny sought out to go face to face with the man who was responsible for the death of his three children. And all he wanted to do was share with him about who the children were. And what's happened is that these two, the father and the man responsible for killing his children, are now at a point where they're talking to one another face to face. I don't know about you, but I know that to get to that point of sitting face to face across from that person, it would take an enormous amount of power for me to do that. An enormous amount of self-control to do that. An enormous amount of peace to be able to do that. Yet Danny knows of the Lord's forgiveness. And so he can sit in front of this man and they can talk peacefully. They can share. They call each other even when they're not facing each other. They call each other. They write to each other. And in this relationship that they have, because they now have a relationship, Danny says that, like it or not, the moment that this man killed his children was a moment that their lives would be intertwined together. That's not going to stop. The dad thinks about his children every day, but the power of God compels him to be able to face this other man. And this dad is able to share quite openly about his Christian faith. He's able to share about what forgiveness is. And I believe he's actually showing this man what forgiveness actually looks like in this world. The dad checks in with even the prisoner's mum because it's the only family that he's got left. And the mum's really important to him. Church, I share this story because I really do believe, and I hope you all believe, in a God of hope. A God of reconciliation, unity, and love. But I also hope that you can believe and see and witness that He's incredibly powerful. So whenever we see our broken relationships, whether it's our own or someone else's, let us not look at what we could do by ourselves, by our own strength. But let us look to the one who has the most incredible power. I believe that this is a picture of how God turns hearts. If God can turn the hearts of a murderer and a father face to face to each other, to show love to one another, that's a mighty, mighty God that loves us. Because it's only through that love that our God has for us that He could do that. So in closing, church, Malachi's prophecy isn't just history. It's for us now. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. God is still turning hearts today, of fathers to children, children to fathers, of spiritual parents to children, and spiritual children to parents, of brothers to brothers, of sisters to sisters. Most of all, His children are turning back to Him, even the murderers. So I want to invite us into a moment of response. Maybe you carry a pain from your father. Maybe you've been distant from your children. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive. Maybe your heart has been hard toward God. Today, the Spirit is here to turn hearts. today the Spirit is here to turn hearts. We remember that the Father has His heart. His heart is for reconciliation, unity, and love. We remember that God works through families. His covenant is generational. We remember that God recognizes brokenness and is turning hearts. It's through Jesus that even the deepest pain can be healed. And this is for everyone. Fathers, mothers, singles, children, spiritual parents. Because in Christ, we're all sons and daughters of a most perfect Father.